Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
On the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, my friend, my brother, the 2015 National Championship Game MVP, Tyvis Powell. Off the top of your head. Off the top of your head, how many tackles did you have in that game?
Oh, eight?
That's wrong. You out of pocket. You supposed to be better than that. You had nine. Yeah, nine.
Wow. Okay, so I'm one off.
How many PBUs did you have in that game?
One. I remember that one because I remember that one exactly because this is the funny thing about that one. So you go back and watch that game. Every time we got a PBU, they called a flag for both teams. So the funny thing is the formation. So the formation they came out was in a bunch set, and they ran the double follow. For people that don't know what a double follow is when the point guy goes across like a drag route, and then the guy that's on the inside piece, he runs like he's going to go out, and then, boom, he does that triangle route and follows the guy across the middle of the field. So the funny thing is they always did that to the field. So when we went over it in practice, Von was the guy that did it. And I just sat back and I just watched Von do it. But I never took the rep. I just watched what Von did on the rep. And we get into the game, and sure enough, they are in the bunch formation. And I'm like, oh, shoot. So they run the route. I do exactly what I seen Von do. Boom, I get the PBU. After I get the PBU, I get up because I'm looking around for the flag. Because like I said, they throwing flags left and right. They ain't throw no flag.
You're like,
then
bet.
I started.
Cool. He said, cool. Yo, it's game day, brother, man. We are in Atlanta, man, getting ready to take on Ohio State alumni, Marcus Freeman, and the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, man. What do you think the wake up was like for those young men this morning?
You know what? I think they're composed. I don't think they overly excited. You know, I think that they understand that it's the national championship, but I think that they're probably going through the same things that we went through, you know, playing Oregon, playing Texas. You know, those games come off as more of a championship environment. So they probably feel like, you know what? We feel like this game is just another type of game. And they're going to probably feel that way until the first drive. But right now, you got to keep your body calm. You don't want to get yourself overly hyped and excited because you got to save that energy for game time. So right now, they on simmer is what I like to call it, on simmer.
Big simmer. Heavy favorites. Looking like, you know, we should go out there and dominate. And the last time we was in that situation where it looked like we was going to go out here and dominate was against Michigan. And it didn't turn out that way. Understanding what they've been through, how does this team not allow history to repeat itself in that light?
Well, I think that they've gotten better. I think that Notre Dame is probably going to try to do the same things that, you know, Texas tried to do, the same things that the Wolverines tried to do, try to take away that explosive passing attack. Because if you let them pass the ball and you see what they got at wide receiver, you really stand no chance. So what you got to do is you got to make them dink and dunk. Make Will Howard dink and dunk his way down the field, make them run the ball, and you got to try to win the game. And that what that does is that shortens the game, you know. You try to hold. I think for Notre Dame, their game plan will be, you know, we're not going to do too much. We're going to try to move the chains. We're just going to focus on every 10 yards. And that shortens the game as well. Give Ohio State the least amount of time to go down the field and score. And I think if they do that, it should make it a very competitive game.
Yeah, I'm expecting this game to be highly competitive as well. You know, Jeremiah Smith didn't really get his funky off last game. You know, how is Chip Kelly going to prevent that from happening? I know Texas, they played a lot of shell, right? And that's not really what Notre Dame typically does. So what's the strategy to make sure that Jeremiah Smith is involved and consistently involved?
I think Notre Dame is going to do what Notre Dame do. You know, and Notre Dame likes to run man-to-man. I mean, they've come out and they've said that we're going to run man. You know, we might sprinkle a couple of things in here, but we're a man-to-man team, and that's what we're going to do. So I think if they're going to do that, I think the ways you could do that is same way they did it against Oregon, you know, maybe throw him to make a motion, throw him the ball off the backfield, things like that, just to get the ball in his hands because he's a playmaker. But if they're going to run man to man like that, I think they're going to keep a safety over the top of him at all times. So I think that he will have to really make his money, you know, on some shorter routes, digs, comeback routes, things like that. We've seen him take a hit 70 yards. So all you got to do is get the ball in his hand. He can make things happen.
You look at Marcus Freeman, man, Ohio State alumni. A lot has been made of him being, you know, the first black coach to coach in the national championship game. Ohio native, just like you and I. What do you think this moment really means to him?
Well, I think that, honestly, I think that he embraces this moment. I think that it's funny that we have a trestle guy going up against, you know, a team that looks like Miami back in 2002. So I'm interested to see if he tries to come out there and play trestle ball, which is what they've been doing. But I think he embraces it enough. I think he's going to try to give a good performance, a good showing, and try to do everything he can to win that game. If it comes down to a talent standpoint, obviously, you know, that favors the Buckeyes. But I think he's a good enough coach and a smart enough coach to try to make do things to make the talent not a factor. But you can only do it for so long.
How was the event that you attended over this weekend? I seen the picture with you, Cardale. It was Denzel. Like, talk to us about the event. What went on and how was it?
Oh, it was an autograph signing. It was me, Braxton Miller, Cardale Jones, Denzel. We were from 12 to 2. And then after that, we had the 2002 national champions in there that had C. Grant, Matt Wilhelm, Dustin Fox, Bobby Carpenter was there earlier. So they had, it was a really good event. A lot of people showed up, showed out, took some pictures, signed a bunch of stuff. It was a good time. There was a guy in there with a 8 championship jacket. I told him, well, it's going to be the last time you wear that jacket because you're going to need a new one after Monday. So make sure you get all your use out of it.
So, you know, I looked at, you know, watched a lot of football over the weekend. I'm sure you did too. And I was just skimming the football field, seeing what Ohio State Buckeyes was out there and what type of time they was on, seeing that the big game was today. Your boy Scary Terry, man. That boy still turned, got some wheels, man.
Did you see? That boy caught that ball and bounced on him, didn't he? Look.
It was ridiculous, wasn't it?
What's funny to me is I'm sitting there and I'm laughing at it because I'm like we've been talking about Terry for a long time. Terry is one of the most hardworking guys I've ever seen. You know, if you look at his career at Ohio State, I mean, you've seen what he is in the league. You're like, dude, where the heck you been at Ohio State? Because this man had, like, no catches, not a lot of yards at his career at Ohio State, but the dude was just a hard worker.
Yeah, man.
It's NFL without having, you know, a good quarterback. And the fact that he is now being able to put all of it together, you know, and have his success with Jaden Daniels is really taking him to the next level. Like he a top 10 receiver in the league, and it's like, wow, man, a quarterback really been holding you back this whole time.
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, I remember that actually it's like y'all national championship year. He just at Ohio State he was not like never really there, but now all of a sudden he's in that long list of wide receivers. And I remember like Michael Thomas like really didn't come on until like the season was really closing out, and it was like, man, damn, like he been here this whole time. Like, yeah, like where he come from? So
Mike started making plays. He started to make a name for himself in that, you know, that national championship run. And then the year after that, you know, he was kind of like the guy. But the reason that he was overshadowed is because they had Devin Smith, and Devin Smith was the guy that fans came to the game to see, because you want to see that deep ball, you want to see him burn somebody for a fade. And Mike was more of a possession receiver, so that's kind of why Mike's career kind of got overshadowed a little bit by Devin Smith.
So, you know, as we're having this conversation, you know, I was thinking about this yesterday, and I get it, it's only been 1 year, but I jokingly said today, I said the best player in the 2025 NFL draft is Jeremiah Smith. And we know the history of wide receivers at Ohio State, you know, the Chris Carters, the Terry Glenns, the David Bostons. Like, I can go the Joey Galloways, like, man, the Devin
Jackson Smith and Jigba.
The Jackson Smith, the Kenyon Rambos, the Michael Thomases, like, the Garrett Wilsons, the Emeka Abukas, the Marvin Harrison Juniors. This young man is putting on. You got Chris Henry's son coming soon. Like, if, for you, after one season, You know, talk about Jeremiah Smith's place in Ohio State wide receiver history already.
After one season, man, this is not only is he going down as one of the best wide receivers in Ohio State history, he's going down as one of the best wide receivers in the history of the football game, of college football. I mean, the dude is special. I mean, to come in like that ready and able to do the things that he's able to do at such a young age, man, it's unbelievable. It's remarkable. I tell you what, I was talking to Cardell. I think Cardell did like a Sports Illustrated thing, and he was talking about, you know, how if Jeremiah Smith wins the Biletnikoff next year, how he should sit out his third year. And I'm laughing. I was laughing at it like, that's ridiculous, because we ain't seen nobody do that since Jamar Chase. And the only reason he did that was COVID. But, like, I truly think that this kid is definitely on that level to where, like, he could just sit out his junior year. And I know Ohio State fans don't want to hear that. Of course they don't, and I don't want them to. But, like, he absolutely could sit out a year and still be the number one pick in the draft. Like, that dude is elite. He's special. Like, the things that he's doing right now, like, to think that, man, he still got room to grow. Like, that's crazy to me that, like, as a coach – like, how do they coach him? Like, he goes out there and do some of these unbelievable things, and then, yeah, you got to come in there and, you know, tone it down in the film room. Like, you can't be like, hey, dude, this is amazing, you that. Like, yeah, you can't even do him like that. So, like, it's amazing that you got to be nitpicking with him, which is what he asked for. You know, this is a guy that said he wants to be coached like he's Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant. You know, don't tell me the good things. Tell me the bad things. Tell me the things I need to work on. And, like, so you got to be real nitpicky with him. And that guy just is an elite talent, and he's got the right head on his shoulders. Like I said, man, that kid might go down as the best wide receiver in the game of college football.
All right, so I got to let you go because I got a next guest. I'm going to wrap this up with two rapid-fire questions and a statement. I'm going to do the statement first. No, I'm going to do the questions first. Scoring prediction for tonight's Ohio State game.
I got the Buckeyes winning 35-17.
All right.
I don't think they're going to beat him. I don't think they want to do Marcus Freeman bad, like embarrass him. So I think 35-17.
All right. So your boys is in action at about 3:30. Darius Garland, what you got for you? Tell the fans what your homie going to do today.
Listen, this is the thing, man. I've been trying to tell everybody. I know everybody was down on DG last year. My boy DG, he going for 40 today because DG still trying to get that all-star game. You see, him and Donovan was putting on last game, so he's going to hit and he's going to outscore Donovan tonight. Put it on your parlays. He's going to outscore Donovan. I don't know if he's going to get quite 40, but 30 ball is a guarantee.
Big facts. Hey, brother, man, enjoy the game. This is the thing. This is the last thing I have for you. In about 30 seconds, I asked Cameron Justice this. What does MLK Day mean to you?
You know what? It's a day where I look around and I look at the profession that I'm in and being able to do sports, being with white people and black people and being able to, you know, win national championships, being able to be on the radio, you know, being able to work with them and learn so much stuff, you know, be able to share history, you know, teach our culture to them so they can have a better understanding. These is conversations that we couldn't even have, to be able to go to restaurants, be able to have my kids grow up in a community where they're around white kids, black kids, Indians, all of those things, and not have to fear for their lives, to have to worry about things. You know, that is what MLK has done for us. Obviously, it's not perfect. It's still a work in progress. But the fact that, you know, he even laid the pipe work for this to even happen makes him a pioneer of this country and this world. So we appreciate everything that MLK has done, you know, to help us, you know, try to get a step ahead in life.
Hey, brother, man, go be great today. Go win this day. Go Bucks, and I'll see you soon.
Same to you. Go Bucks, go Cavs.
Go Bucks, go Cavs. Really respect his work. Just respect him as a human being, as a person. He is my homeboy, Ethan Sands, who covers the Cleveland Cavaliers for Cleveland.com. Ethan, man, very serious. First question for you, bro. First, good morning. What does MLK Day mean to you?
Good morning, good morning. MLK Day, to me, it means the opportunity to honor greatness, honor just freedom and what the black lives kind of stand for and what we're trying to work towards, right? Like, you understand the amount of pressure and agony and just will it took for Martin Luther King Jr. to live the life that he lived. And you got to live with that same kind of energy, especially on this day. But it makes a reminder, especially because it's just January 20th, that we got to have a different mindset this year and throughout the year to honor his legacy. And I think that's more what it means to me because of what our ancestors have gone through, the respect that they deserve and the respect that we need to show just based in our actions.
Looking at today's matchup, the Cavs are, according to FanDuel, 7.5-point favorites. 3:30 p.m. tip against the Phoenix Suns, Kevin Durant and his guys. No Evan Mobley. Is this something that we need to be alarmed about? Is this something that we need to worry about, or is this just precaution, him being out these last two games?
I think it's got to be more precautionary. Obviously, in the injury report, it did get upgraded from calf soreness to a calf strain. So that is definitely something to keep an eye on. But we understand how this Cavs team has operated, especially this season, is very precautionary, and especially with the other guy who's also out for tonight, Isaac Okoro, who is still dealing with the right shoulder AC joint sprain that he had and had been out for 2 weeks because of. So I definitely think for Evan's case, like, the calf injury is a more specific injury that you need to keep an eye on, but I don't think it's something that we're going to see him out like he was last year for 2 to 3 weeks or more than that. So I definitely think something to monitor, but I would not be too concerned if I were a Cavs fan.
What's going on, Ethan? This is James.
How you doing, James?
I'm good, man. We appreciate you. Hey, so we've had this conversation in the media room. What happens? Who's going to be like the next rotational big? Are we really looking at Tristan Thompson playing 25 minutes a night?
No. That the answer to that question simply is no. So what I'm thinking is they go with Donovan, Darius, Caris LeVert, Dean Wade, and Jared Allen for the starting lineup. Then you have Max Strus playing 4 minutes. You also have George Niang obviously playing 4 minutes. You can also slide Ty Jerome into 3 minutes. So it's just we've seen multiple different lineups where smaller guys are playing in a smaller ball lineup. I think the interesting portion of it, especially for today's game, is Yusuf Nurkic is also out for the Phoenix Suns. So, and he's been out, right? He's on return to conditioning, so he's going to be coming back relatively soon. But that's why they went out and got Nick Richards from the Charlotte Hornets, who will most likely start for them. And we'll have to see how Jared Allen deals with a 7-footer and Nick Richards, who's only played one game with the Hornets, and how he's able to kind of maintain or learn their system while Nurkic is out. Also, the other player that they have on their depth chart is Mason Plumlee. But I definitely think that the Cavs have the depth, even if it is not the size that people would have wanted. But, I mean, Dean Wade has also played the five. They also have JT Thor on the bench, who is a longer guy who could play the center position in backup minutes. So I don't think Tristan Thompson is going to be playing 20 minutes. As we saw the other day, if the Cavs get a bigger lead or if the Cavs are down, that he would or could play 12 minutes, depending on where they're at in the fourth quarter. So I don't think 20 minutes is the number, but it could be closer to 12.
Ethan, let's go inside the matchup today, the matchup inside the matchup. You have the Phoenix Suns traveling to our building. You know, we have the best record in the entire NBA. Talk to the fans of what are the Cavs up against when you're going up against this Phoenix Suns team, Kevin Durant, of course, and then who's your X factor in today's game?
I mean, yeah, you mentioned it. KD and Devin Booker are two of the toughest players to guard. I wrote about this for the morning, and I think Dean Wade will get the assignment against Kevin Durant, and then you also have Caris LeVert, who will likely be in the starting lineup, I would assume, because Kenny Atkinson likes having some stability in the last game without Evan Mobley. That's who he went with. So I think he would guard Devin Booker. But when you talk about the X factor, I think it then comes down to Caris LeVert because of the exertion he's going to have to use on the defensive end. Will he be able to still have the same productivity on the offensive end? But, I mean, because we don't really look for Dean Wade to be a scorer. You don't really look for Jared Allen to get that much on field goals off, all those different things. I really do think that Caris LeVert and Max Strus are the two guys to watch for tonight's matchup to be big, because when Max comes in, probably for Caris LeVert, the option will be for him to either guard Devin Booker or for him to still be on Bradley Beal if he plays. Bradley Beal is questionable for tonight's game with an ankle injury. So I just think it's interesting to keep an eye on those two guys because of their length and their defensive prowess, because we've also seen Max Strus guard Jason Tatum and players like that in the past.
Ethan Sands from Cleveland.com is joining us today. Ethan, we've seen him, Coach Atkinson, go really deep in his bench. Who do you think will get more minutes with Okoro being out today?
I mean, I think it'll be Ty Jerome, based on what we saw in the last game where Evan was out. I do think that it's interesting to keep an eye on guys like Sam Merrill, who have still been closer to the bottom of the rotation, but have had games where they've proven in a shootout are very valuable. So I definitely think that those are the two guys that I think could get more minutes than they've usually gotten. I mean, Ty Jerome got 22 minutes against the Minnesota Timberwolves earlier this week. So it's definitely something to keep an eye on for those two guys when you talk about the rotation and where everybody's at, because Kenny Atkinson, even though he can go 10, 11 man deep, I think he just went 9 deep against the Timberwolves. So that's something to keep an eye on for the tonight's game against Phoenix and how long they are when it comes to KD being a 7-footer who can shoot from the perimeter and who might be guarding him and how the Cavs utilize those different matchups.
He is Ethan Sands, Cleveland.com. Ethan, you know, when you look at Donovan Mitchell, a lot of people was talking smack, you know what I mean? He put them back in place last game against Minnesota. Do you think the slump is over with? Do you think Donovan is okay? What do you expect from him tonight?
I definitely think that's something to monitor as well. You want to see him continue to have that fire. Obviously, he had somebody talking to him even before the game in his hotel room or as he exited the hotel that lit a fire under him. Obviously, he needed to have a bounce-back game as he had after the Thunder game before. I mean, when you talk about what the performance he had against the Thunder in their first matchup, he got to rest, and then he came back against the Pacers with a little bit of a bounce-back game. And then you saw him after the Thunder game, the second matchup, come back and have a better game against Minnesota. So I definitely think you want to see the continuation of that success. I don't think you can necessarily call it being the slump over. I just think you understand what the matches were, and they were favorable for Donovan. And I think tonight's another night where it's possible for him to have a good matchup as well, whether it be Devin Booker or Tyus Jones or all of those different guys over there for Phoenix. I definitely think that how this Cavs team has been able to be successful is Donovan Mitchell has been the engine that gets them started. He has a great first quarter that leads to the guys around him getting more open looks because Donovan's being pressured more at the point of attack of the ball. He's able to get off the ball, use his gravity to bring defenders near him, and then create open shots for other guys on the floor. Then you also have the opportunity and the knowledge that Darius Garland is playing like one of the best clutch players in the NBA. So even if the game is close in the fourth quarter or it's not, Darius can take it over. So it's basically having a 1-2 punch at the beginning and the end of games that you can know you can go to in every single matchup. So I think it's really important for Donovan, for not only for himself but for his teammates, to get going early, because that is what makes the offense go.
All right, two more questions, and I got to get you out of here because the show is almost over. The first question, I need to ask this one first, because if I ask the other question, you aren't going to answer this one. What is on the in-arena menu tonight?
In-arena menu. It is 9:35 in the morning. I have no clue what I'm eating at 3:30.
You got to go with the tacos tonight, man. Go with the tacos.
Now, here's the funny part. He sounds so subtle. When I see him at about 1:32, he's going to be like, I can't believe you just asked me that stupid bloop, 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 bloop question right there on the air. Last question. This one is probably a little bit more triggering. Are you okay after yesterday? Are you okay?
Oh, man. Don't do this to me, man. Come on, man.
I just want to know if you're okay.
That was a great setup.
I just want to know if you're okay. We're friends, so I had to make sure that you were okay.
I'm not okay, man. I'm not okay.
No, and seriously.
To my guys.
What would be the message to Mark Andrews this morning?
From me as a fan
from you to fan.
Well, you're not coming back to Cleveland. You're not coming back to Baltimore, bro. That's me, the fan. With a level head, I'd say he's made some great plays this season, obviously, especially after starting slow. So gotta give credit where credit is due, but that was a stinker, and you made some dumb decisions. So definitely not what you want in a playoff game.
Well, listen, man, on this MLK Day, man, you know, for the things that he put forth and for the things he's done, you and I are allowed to live out our dream and work on these very, very high platforms and get to do it together. It's been an honor and a pleasure getting to know you and just growing that relationship. I thank you for taking time out your busy morning, and I'll see you later on today.
All right. Thank you guys for having me. And amen. Happy MLK Day to everybody, and celebrate a little bit.